This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3020 for Friday, the 28th of February 2020. Today's show is entitled Validating Data in Haskell. And as part of the series Haskell, it is hosted by Tuku Toroto and is about 25 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is: Toroto talks about how to validate incoming HTTP requests before acting on them.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Listening to Hacker Public Radio, and this is Tuturto talking about how to validate data with Haskell. So, a little bit of background. I have that space game that I have been working for, and I need an admin interface for it. Then that admin interface is for examining and modifying the world. Like, the idea is that the computer, while the computer will run the simulation for the players, sometimes there's a need for the game master, the person who is administering the system, to have a little bit of poke there. They can, for example, create new planets or new stars or new people, modify a little bit of things so that the game will stay interesting. So for that reason, I need that admin interface. And first step is for creating, viewing, and modifying people. Later on, I will add more, but people are now what I have been concentrating on. As usual, I won't go through the code line by line anymore. I will concentrate on the most interesting points. And on the show notes, there will be a little bit of more code than in the actual episode. So there will be three endpoints, HTTP endpoints. So one is for retrieving a list of people, one is for viewing or modifying a single person, and one is for creating a completely new person. So I'll focus on adding a new person on this episode. So a little detail about types and parsing first. So there's two important approaches that I have learned recently. And the first one is that you should use types to, and actually you should write your program in a way that the illegal state is unpresentable. So if it's not possible to create data that is illegal, invalid, you don't have to validate it. If you can only create a data that is valid, there's no need to validate that. So, for example, instead of checking that the integer is always zero or more in some context, you can just use data type called natural, because that's a data type that can represent only for integer numbers starting from zero and going up. So now when you are given such a data, you can be sure that it's at least zero or greater. It cannot be negative. You don't have to separately validate it anymore. The type system does that for you. You have to remember that you have to be careful when you are doing subtractions, because if you subtract 5 from 1, you will normally end up with a negative number, and because natural cannot represent that negative number, you will get a runtime error. So you would have to check if you can do that subtraction before you do that. This is a limitation of naturals, and it's kind of true to be told, it's kind of annoying. I don't like runtime exceptions at all. Another example is a non-empty, which is a list that will always contain at least one item. So when you are given a data that is non-empty, it's always safe to check that there's a first element there. It's not safe to check for the second element or subsequent elements. So if you are given a non-empty and you take a tail, that's everything but the first element, you end up with a regular list. So, and if you want to check the first element, if you want to use the first element of that to something, you have to check that if there actually is. So, use types to make invalid state unpresentable. Another one is, the newer one that I learned is a parse, don't validate. This relates to the previous concept. But when you are giving data that you transform into different data, for example, if you are giving a JSON object and then you parse it and construct a Haskell data type out of that, another Haskell data type, you should build your system in a way that it accepts everything and then validates it. You should build it in a way that the parser itself makes sure that it rejects data that is invalid. You cannot always ensure each and every invariant, so some validation is probably still needed. But so instead of reading an arbitrary JSON data and then checking that the required fields are present, as an example, you have a data type that matches to required and optional fields and just pass the JSON into that. So if it succeeds, you have data that you wanted. If it fails, you either have a missing field or they have wrong kind of data. And it's good to clearly express what kind of data the system accepts and operates over. So how does this relate to our space game? So we are creating that interface for creating new persons. So there's a function signature, generate person M. This is the actual thing that creates a new person, generates it. It is a random gen G, fat arrow, star date, arrow, person options, arrow, rand G, person. So meaning that if you are given a current date and options that tell what kind of person you are after, you are given a rand monad, which can be then run to get that person that is generated. The person options is currently very bare bones, because the people in the game are very bare bones. There isn't that much of detail into them yet. I will add more options later. So there's only one optional field, that is maybe, and that's for specifying age options. So person options has a one field, maybe age options. And again, age options is a algebraic data type that has two possibilities. It's a age bracket that takes two ages, or exact age that takes a one age. So if you're given a age bracket, you're essentially telling that I want a person whose age is between these two numbers. And if you're giving an exact age, you are saying that you want a person that has this exact age. And finally, the age is a new type that wraps natural that I talked about earlier. So it means that age can never be negative. It can never be fractional or decimal. You cannot have 1.5 years old things. Age is always whole years. So it's 1 or 2 years. So I decided to test this because for kids, those months in your age are very important. It's a big deal that you are 5.5 years old, instead of 5 or 5.25. But for adults, it's not that important. We count age in whole years or even decades. The older you get, the bigger unit you start using for counting the age. So our code for this is in the show notes if you want to have a look. But it's not that important. Yeah. And the important is to remember that there's a person options have an option field, age options that has two possibilities, exact age or age bracket. And age is always a 0 or more. I wrote a parsing JSON by hand because in case that the given number is less than 0, we will reject it. So this is our parser that actually checks that if it's a 0, like less than 0, we will reject it. We cannot parse it, and that will instruct whoever is using that JSON parser that now you got invalid data. So all this means that when you are creating a new person, you have different kinds of options. You can say that I don't care about age at all, then computer will pick some for you. You can say that I want specifically 25-year-old, for example, specific age. Then computer will use the current date of the simulation to calculate the date of birth of that person. That's why we need the current date. Or you can give a age bracket in which games the computer again calculates the date of birth based on the current date and the bracket. And age is always integer that is 0 or more. So these things are ensured by the type system. Okay, there's a still possibility of an error. So nothing ensures that the age bracket makes sense. We could have a bracket from 10 to 5, and that does not make sense. It should be from 5 to 10. So we still need a little bit of validation here. I mean, in theory, you could just think that in that case, you just flip them around and then you end up with a bracket from 5 to 10. But I like to build systems in a way that they don't assume that a caller made some sort of mistake and try to fix it. I would like systems to work in a specific manner that has been agreed upon. And if incorrect data is given, then they react that and say that, hey, there's a problem, fix. Because that in the long run leads into less problems, in my opinion. So we still need a little bit of validation here. And here we are going to use a library called data.validation. That is, quoting from the instructions manual, data.validation is a data type like either, but with an accumulating applicative. So that doesn't really say anything if you haven't used this before. So what this means to me is that I can validate multiple aspects of data and collect errors in a list. So the validation doesn't stop on the first error. So it's really handy for getting all the problems at once instead of ending up in the situation where you fix one error, send the data, and then you get a message that, hey, this another thing is incorrect, and then you fix that and then try again. And it's nicer that you're given a whole list of errors that these things are wrong. So in our code, we have this validate add person. This is a function that we use to validate age option, that we use to validate person options. These are the options that tell the game or the system what kind of person to create. So validate add person has a data signature of person options, arrow validation, list of error code, person options. So when you are given, when this function is given a person options, it will give back a list of error codes and original person options. And that if validation succeeds, that list of course will be empty. It can be combined to form more complex validations, so you don't have to write all the validations into single function. It's actually very, very good idea to break it into multiple functions. So in our case, we have a validate age options that takes person options, returns validation error code, list of error code person options. So this will take the person options data, validate the age options part of it, and return the result call. And the, again, the code is in show notes. You might want to have a look at it. But the thing is that in our validate at person, that takes a parameter opt person for person options, we are just saying pure opt. This pure takes the person options and transforms it into validation list of error code person options. And the error codes in this list of error codes is empty. So it just transforms into it into the different form. And then it calls less than asterisk validate age options. So here we are validating the age option part of it, and that less than asterisk will combine the list of error codes. So pure opt turns our person options into validation result, and then validate, and then less than asterisk operator will combine the result of validate age options with that. And then validate age options, like I said, will check that the basically it says that if there's no age options given, it succeeds. If there's an exact age, it will succeed. And if there's an age bracket, it checks that the first number is smaller or equal than the second number, then it succeeds. If the check fails, it returns failure. Age bracket start is greater than end. Okay, and like I said, you can combine these things. You can then if we had more options present in our person options, we could just add validation for those two. So in the validate at person, we would just use that less than asterisk and add another function and add another function to chain all those checks together. And inside of the, if we had a really complex validation, we could have some sub thing, for example, for name, because names are in the game pretty complex. You have different kinds of formats for the names, and sometimes you have a first name and sometimes you have first and last name, and you can have a cognomen and a regnal number and whatnot. So you could have a validate name options that is called in the while doing the validation of the person options, and in that validate name options you could have multiple steps. So because the signatures of the functions are the same, so you can just easily build more complex and more complex checks. And then you can just, when you're validating, you're just calling that one validation function. So I hope you could follow that. That probably was a bit unclear, but if you have a look at the show notes, it probably makes more sense. So then we want to put all these things together. So we have a function called post admin API at person R that is of type handler value. This is the handler function that handles post actions to the admin API at person root. And it returns a value meaning it returns a JSON data. I'm not reading the code aloud, but I'm just going to walk through what it does. So first, it checks that the current user is admin. Then it gets the JSON content with message, left arrow, require JSON body. And here you are doing already a validation. Here you are parsing the data into JSON format. And if somebody tries to pass a exact age minus one here, then the parsing fails and you get an error, and that error is returned to the caller. Okay, but if parsing succeeds, then we are loading a current start date from the database and validating the person options. Again, if the validation fails, we are returning a list of error codes and descriptive strings. I didn't talk about how to turn those error codes into descriptive strings or how to decide what kind of HTTP code use as a return code. But those two functions are basically just, well, error messages is just a function from that maps from error code into the string, and the function to get the HTTP code is just error code, list of error code to the HTTP code. So nothing too tricky. You probably can imagine how to do a big case study. It says that if the error code is this, then you give this string, and if it's this, you give this string. So then we have validated data that is in syntactically correct, validated data. We get a new random number generator because we are creating random persons based on the options. We need a random number generator. We call generate person M with our current start date and the past JSON data, and then use the eval run with the random number generation to run that computation. Then we end up with a person. And if you look into show notes, well, I can read this. This actually reads let person equals eval run parenthesis generate person M date message close parenthesis G. This means, this let part means that this is a pure computation. This always returns the same value. Of course, there's that value depends on the random number generator that you passed in to that. But the thing is that this is pure computation. It doesn't touch the database. It doesn't read system data or anything. I like building the system in a way that there's as much as possible of these computations that don't touch into the database or any external resources, because those things are easier to write in a way that they don't accidentally fail or throw a runtime error. Now that we have this generated person, we just call run DB insert person. So we are just inserting that person into the database. We get a primary key back, or value for the primary key of that person back. That's the person ID. And then we just return JSON and give it the primary key and the person. So that when some system calls our API, it will be given back the ID of the newly created person and that actual person that was created. Or they will be given back an HTTP error of some kind. But that's all about it. There's nothing else to creating a new person yet. I'm hoping to add more options and more things here, but that's what it is currently. Then there's a then there's a web page where the administrators can view people, view persons of the inside of the game, edit them, and modify them. I mean, modify and create new ones. So, in closing, types should represent only valid states. You should strive to build your data types in a way that it's not possible to have incorrect states there. While parsing, you should reject invalid data, obviously. And you should... Okay. And then there's a... you could parse in several steps and validate as you go. In our example, we could have a parser that is from JSON to person options and from person options to the validate person options. Then you wouldn't really need a separate validation step anymore. And if you have questions, comments, and feedback, they are very welcome. Best way to reach me is either email or in the mastodon.social, where I'm tuturdo@mastodon.social. Ad astra.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.